Looking to part ways with complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping? Then give your business the edge it needs with USPS Ground Advantage shipping from the United States Postal Service. Keep everything simple with clear upfront pricing and no unexpected surcharges. Keep things affordable with some of the lowest prices out there. And keep it all reliable with on-time ground shipments. It's time to turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at USPS.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable. This episode is brought to you by FX's The Old Man, starring Jeff Bridges and John Lithgow. The hit show returns as the stakes get higher and more secrets are uncovered. The former CIA agent sets off on his most important mission to date, to recover his daughter after she's kidnapped. FX's The Old Man premieres September 12th on FX. Stream on Hulu.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
8 days, we're going to Kansas City. 9 days, the season kicks off. 12 days is when week one hits.
Live from The Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Justin Herbert, the guy is just a beast.
Welcome to Los Angeles and back to the National Football League, Jim.
Earlier on the show, NFL rules analyst Walt Anderson. Still to come, Fox Sports college football insider Bruce Feldman. Underdog Fantasy senior NFL reporter James Palmer. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the show is on the air. Great chat with Walt Anderson, the NFL rules expert. And he's gonna make all the officials, he's going to make all the broadcasters smarter. Do you like how I said that last hour? And I'm like, so you're going to chime in when you hear somebody in my profession talk out of the wrong orifice?
Yeah, I laughed at that one.
Because they listen to broadcasts and they will call up and say, you're wrong about that. Because not every broadcast has their own rules analyst. There's only one Mike. There's only one Mike Prayer.
He is so good at that. He's so fun.
You know, Blandino.
Rich, what I thought Walt said, I wasn't sure if I caught it correctly. When a play has to be reviewed, he made it seem like it's just kind of like, I want to say first come, first serve, but it doesn't seem like there was someone who was specifically for each game. It's just like who's ever up and can look at a play.
No. He said there's a replay official in the stadium, and then there's somebody in the NFL Art McNally Center, which is named after the Hall of Fame, the only official who's in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, where they have every game on, and there's somebody dedicated to that game.
Okay, so
that person and the person who's the replay official in the stadium, whoever's first to the person on the field, say, I've got something.
That's what he said. That makes sense. Okay.
So, that's what he said. And by the way, in terms of asking questions about what the competition committee is thinking, well, we're going to get some specific answers now in hour number three, because Mike Tomlin will be joining us in hour number three, Pittsburgh Steelers head coach.
Nice.
That has been added to the docket. We've been cultivating this caper.
Stay by your phone, man. I may need you.
There you go.
And he did. And we needed him.
Listen.
What time is it? I want to tweet that out.
Is going to be happening Steelers at Nation. 2:20 Eastern, 11:20 Pacific.
Excellent.
Because it's high on my damn agenda.
That's right.
Love it. Thank you, Coach.
He's got great drops. Another great drop.
Well, I mean, the man has a way with words.
Yes.
And how does one get the information on who's your quarterback out of a man who has no intention of revealing it?
I mean,
how do I crack that nut?
Well, he's got to reveal it soon, so why not here?
That's a great question.
You know what I mean?
Let's why not us?
Rich. It does need to be that's out what, there.
Chris, what's the phrase I've been saying to you since day one I've met you?
Rich, if not us, who? If not now, when?
That's RES Consulting's mantra.
I mean,
like if there was
mission
statement. First of all, if there was an RES Consulting office and there was a mission statement on the wall, that would be it.
The best thing about us, though, is it's about us.
And we'll ask him about that.
Black and gold. Here we go.
All right,
I'm done.
Okay, wow, you're emptying the bank, Mike.
I'm done.
Don't pull anything, Mike.
Wow. I'm done.
Don't pull anything.
I'm done.
Bruce Feldman will be joining us shortly.
Bruce.
Week one of the college football season. It's week zero. You know, how should Georgia Tech feel about winning in week zero? Hey, you had one of the best wins of week zero.
I mean,
that's like saying, hey, great broadcast on Baby Fox.
Stop. I did two first place teams. You guys have nothing to say.
Right?
I did Houston and Philly, both Stop.
What do you mean you did them?
I did the game.
What do you mean?
I mixed.
Oh,
I
so it. When I'm sitting at home, I'm like, wow, Kyle Schwarber.
And I did all of the summer
crack of the bat.
Baseball Night in America main games on Fox in all of the country. So I mean, I'm not doing the jabroni like stuff anymore.
This guy.
I mean, he don't do jabroni stuff no more. I don't do jabroni stuff. He don't shine shoes no more.
I work on this show. It's good. It's big.
I'm not working.
I'm professional.
I'm not working faders for the 30-win White Sox on FS3. That's what he's basically saying.
Yeah. FS3.
This guy.
He's saying to put some respect on his name, is what he said.
Good. All right. We're going to be in Kansas City a week from today. Literally, we'll be 1 hour into our show in Kansas City. All three episodes of our Wednesday through Friday edition of the Rich Eisen Show next week in Kansas City for the opener of the National Football League season. We're excited about that. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial on the program. Let's go to, who are you? All right, we haven't done this one. Dave in Nashville, Tennessee. What's going on, Dave?
Yo.
What's going on, bud?
Oh, I'm just waiting for this NFL season to start here. I'm liking the way my O's are win-lose. It's tough being in Baltimore a little bit right now.
Is that right? You just beat the Dodgers last night. You're only a half game behind the Yankees for the best record in the American League. Hold on a minute.
Yeah.
The Ravens were the one seed last year. Hold on a minute. Hold on a second. You've got the defending one seed from last year, the MVP of the National Football League, one of the best tenured coaches in the NFL, one of the best owners in the business. What are you complaining about? Come on now. This is great times.
It's close, but no cigar, Bill.
Okay. Well, speak to the Cowboys fan that's right here. TJ, you want to meet Dave in Nashville?
Dave. You know, I want to tell him, you know, the problem with the Cowboys is you got a meddling owner just like Dan Snyder. He waited too long to pay him, and now everybody else is going to expect crazy money.
That's true.
I mean, I don't think you have to expect crazy money, and CeeDee Lamb has performed.
I will say this though: Jerry's just gets it done. It's just if he doesn't mind paying more, and he doesn't mind the whole, you know,
circus that comes with it.
The circus, right? If he doesn't mind it,
maybe he likes the circus. Okay. No doubt.
He's PT Jerry. Of course, he likes the circus.
PT Jerry.
Come on,
I like it.
Of course, I've heard that. Jones. Remember, I gave him that name, Geppetto,
years ago. With the draft, what would you do if I'm waiting for the draft, right? And I get a call that my aunt fell in my mom's house and she's on the floor and they're calling an ambulance. So I'm at my friend's house and we're ready to do the draft. And I'm like, what the heck am I going to do? She goes, well, you got to meet us at the hospital. I meet at the hospital. Aunt's dead in the hospital. I'm having to run in and out of the emergency room waiting area. Try to make my picks. What would you do with that situation?
Oh my goodness gracious! I'd call into the Rich Eisen Show and tell everyone about it.
I mean, fantasy does stop. Wow, for
that's
no
something
one,
else,
Dave.
Dave, so. I appreciate the call.
I know how much you guys, you know, live and die with this draft stuff. You know,
I know that. Thanks for the call, Dave. Dave in Nashville, everybody. Talking about living and dying.
Well, I mean,
wow, Dave. What a story. 844-204 Rich is the number to dial here on the program. Day three of predicting division finishes.
Ooh.
Here on the program. So far, Chris Brockman has been the one who's shaking it up. He's shaking it up. He had the Commanders beating the Cowboys in the division.
Can't go chalk. I still don't believe he did that.
Can't go chalk.
Yesterday, you had the Packers winning the division.
Yes.
In the NFC North. But you did that last year.
I did that last year as well.
So you were a seer a bit last year.
A little bit.
Rockstar Donovan.
So now it's time for the NFC South.
All right.
And I have a feeling we're going to be very chalky, and we're all going to pick the same things. I'm going to say that, but
we might not.
We'll see. Chris Brockman, you're first up. Let's predict the NFC South.
Okay, here we go. I think it's obvious who I think is going to win the South, not only because you don't have to live with someone who's a Falcons fan, but they did improve across the board, especially a quarterback and a head coach. I like the Falcons to win the South. The Bucs are going to be right there again, competing for a playoff spot. I still like what they did. They brought everybody back. And look, I think Dennis Allen gets fired. I think Spencer Rattler is the starting quarterback by Halloween. And it's going to be a rough year for the Saints.
Halloween.
And I think Dave Canales, we've seen what he's done the last couple of spots. He turned Baker around in Tampa. Geno Smith had his breakthrough year with Seattle. The common theme there was Dave Canales. He's now in Carolina. Mm-hmm. I think he does it for Bryce Young. He pumps them up a little bit. I'm not saying it's like a 500 year, but they could easily go 6-11. That's good enough for the three spot. Falcons, Bucks, Panthers, Saints.
You do realize that that does go, what you said about the Saints would go hand in hand. We had this conversation on the Overreaction Monday podcast, wherever you get your podcasts. And that if Spencer Rattler becomes the starting quarterback of the Saints by Halloween, that would mean Dennis Allen is fired. Because things would be so
Yeah, they got a rough schedule.
Awful.
They got a rough start. You know,
their win-loss in the first half of the season would be so untenable that
Make
he would
change,
be fired mid-season.
Rip the Band-Aid off, go to the kid.
So you don't believe that they've totally revamped the offense, that it has been completely page-turned from the Sean Payton era. They bring somebody else in that suits Derek Carr. That Olave is one of the top receivers in the game. Kamara re-catches lightning in a bottle. They're not that bad as you think.
To quote you, Rich, I got to see it, and you know, I'm not a believer.
TJ, NFC South.
NFC South, well, I think we're going to differ here a little bit as to my winner, and that is I'm going to stick with the Bucs winning this division.
All right.
I feel like they improved a little bit on defense. They didn't really lose too many top stars. And so with the Falcons, you know, you do have a new head coach. You have a new quarterback, a new system. Got to see how that's going to translate onto the field, especially, you know, in season one. And then the Saints and the Panthers, I got them rounding out the NFC.
So you have the Panthers finishing in last again.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
but improving, you know, improving.
I don't blame you for saying what you said about the Buccaneers. And as you know, I'm a big Baker Mayfield guy. I've been accused of, claiming him on my taxes?
Yeah,
is
he's a dependent. Yep.
All right. Even though I'd be probably dependent on his tax form now with his new contract.
True, true. No, I've seen your car, bro.
And kudos again to Jason Light, the general manager there, for keeping everybody. That was a really tough or tall order for him last March to keep everybody. And they did. I mean, from Evans and Baker to Levante David to the kicker to paying Tristan Wirfs. I mean, very well done for a team that finished strong in the playoffs last year. That said, I'm going with the Falcons to win this division.
Okay.
Boy, do I love adding Judon and Simmons. I was going back and forth between the Falcons and the Bucks because I do need to see. Listen, they got their veteran quarterback who can sling it. Okay, I get it. I understand what Kirk Cousins has done in other places. I need to see it with Drake London. Bijan, I hope you are right, and I hope everybody's right, that he is such a bright spot this year, that he takes such a leap forward. We're talking offensive player of the year in this offense. And we did in a way, we didn't see it because he got vultured and Arthur Smith was just keeping the foot off the gas in a way last year. And I got to see it. I am, and I'll say this. I was high on the guy when he first got drafted. I am done drafting Kyle Pitts in fantasy football.
You're not alone.
I mean,
You're
I am
not alone.
Absolutely. I don't care. And I, with all due respect, I should have said in advance. But defensively, adding those two dudes, those two hombres, to a defense that already is pretty damn good with Raheem Morris being the coach, I really like the Falcons to win this division. And I'm going with the Bucs, Saints, Panthers after that. And that's my NFC South. That's interesting. I said, I think we were all going to be chalky, and we were all different.
You're all different. One playoff team from this division?
I don't know. I think the Bucs can make it. But again, don't forget the Bucs last year, they didn't finish a house of fire.
Right,
the rest of the division weren't all that great.
They're only 9-8.
They did do what they needed to do, which was in a home playoff game against a disintegrating Philadelphia Eagles. And then went to
almost
Detroit and played their cash, you know, their house money. Yeah. They played their house money and gave it a nice run in Detroit, where that home field advantage was significant. You could hear it through your television set if you weren't there. So.
Was Del Tufo doing the game?
Because I don't know. I doubt it.
Sounded great.
I doubt it. Mike wasn't even paying attention.
Yeah,
yes, I was.
So you had to sit there and think. Did you work an actual playoff game last year?
No.
Okay, so there you go. That's the answer.
No.
But I was at Fox that day, so I...
Okay.
I feel like this should be like a few good men. Like, let's get the logs. You know what I mean?
The logs.
Or at least let's get two guys dressed like Fox security sitting in the corner. We're going to have them come on shortly.
Absolutely nothing whatsoever.
Right. Let's.
And they're going to just sit on the couch. Right. And pretend to testify that Mike was there or not there that day.
And who's going
to
say otherwise? You, yeah. Lieutenant Brockman?
Yeah, exactly.
I love you guys.
I feel like we should do that.
Just have him sit there.
Mike, have to swipe? Is there any type of log that shows that you actually worked 100%. That day?
There's got to be.
100%.
But here's the thing. We're not going to care. But the bottom line is what we can do and see if it's true or not to see, was there a smiling, toothy selfie
there
in a convertible on the way to work that
get
day?
Ready.
Oh, that is
They're
true.
Coming up
that
soon. Is true. College football.
What do you mean
coming
up soon? I'm seeing it already.
You'll be getting one every Saturday.
The only thing we can't tell anymore is how many followers are
you're locked out.
Because you absolutely
don't you shame me.
You That's took the coward's way out.
No, what you a shamed
coward.
Me.
No, I didn't shame
you. You're a coward.
It's not a coward.
Coward's
you took the common coward way
That's
out.
That's it. Coward's way.
No.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. We see the phone lines are all lit, which is great. We appreciate that. Let's take a break. When we come back, let's talk college football with fellow Fox employee for you. And The Athletic's Bruce Feldman. That's next. This is The Rich Eisen Show. Say goodbye to complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping. And say hello to an advantage with USPS Ground Advantage shipping from the United States Postal Service. Every business faces challenges, but shipping shouldn't be one of them. So keep things simple with clear upfront pricing and no unexpected surcharges for Saturday deliveries, residential deliveries, or fuel. Keep things affordable with some of the lowest prices out there, helping you counter the rising costs of doing business with a budget-friendly alternative. And keep things reliable with on-time ground shipping, ensuring your shipments get to where they need to go while maintaining your hard-earned reputation. USPS Ground Advantage is your ticket to easy, cost-effective, and dependable shipping. It's the complete delivery service your business needs to rise above the competition. There's never been a better time to turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at usps.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable. This episode is brought to you by FX's The Old Man, starring Jeff Bridges and John Lithgow. The hit show returns as the stakes get higher and more secrets are uncovered. The former CIA agent sets off on his most important mission to date, to recover his daughter after she's kidnapped. FX's The Old Man premieres September 12th on FX. Stream on Hulu. Bruce Feldman is here. Let's talk college football, everybody. Radio audience will rejoin in a couple minutes. But what's your week one? What's your week one assignment, sir?
Tomorrow morning at this time, I'll be on a plane to go to Morgantown, West Virginia for Penn State, West Virginia.
Okay.
And I cannot wait.
Let's
it's
going to
be a wild team.
Yeah. I mean, I think Pat's doing a show there Friday. So.
He is. So hopefully he will get everybody lathered up and ready to go. And
he certainly did it. He got himself lathered up in Ireland last week.
He did. He likes to have a good time. That's okay. They all do there. I mean, it's like one of my buddies was like, yeah, it's too bad it's not a night game there. I'm like, listen, they can drink plenty in the morning. Don't underestimate
it.
They're good people of Morgantown.
Night game. Time is exactly bad. Right. So here we go. That's a good one.
Yeah.
There's some really good ones this week, right?
There are. There's a, you know.
We had Whitworth on yesterday, so he's fired up for LSU,
he
USC.
Should be, you know, like, and they have a, I mean, I don't know if they have another Whitworth, but they have a elite tackle tandem, really good offensive line. We're going to see Garrett Nussmeier's taking over at quarterback. He's really talented. It's just, and now they got USC, no Caleb. So each team loses a Heisman Trophy winner.
Yeah, that's right.
Except
by the way, it's interesting that two teams that had sent the first and second overall picks to the NFL draft start the college football season off.
I know,
and
both transfer guys who had, you know, great second acts. LSU has a much better offensive line, but both teams have stunk on defense. It's year three for the quarterbacks. There's actually a lot of similarities between LSU and Brian Kelly and USC and Lincoln Riley at this point.
Yeah, so. both big name college coaches who left previous spots to take over in the spots that they're at right now.
Yeah, and both places hate their, you know, like hate the guy for leaving.
Right.
And still are bitter, it seems like. In the case of LSU, they've lost four openers in a row.
How about that?
Yeah. So
now that one's in Vegas as well. A nice neutral site game for a week one. Bruce Feldman from Fox Sports and The Athletic here on the show. Back on the Rich Eisen Show radio network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by, as Bruce Feldman has done so in his weekly Wednesday spot all last college football season. Excited for yet another Wednesday chit chat with you. Good to see you here on the show, sir. All right, let's jump into what we've already seen. I just find it amazing, fascinating, whatever adjective you want to use to describe the team that last year was upset about not making the college football playoff because they had zero losses, is now the first team in our new college football world to say, hey, you don't have to have zero losses to make the college football playoff after all. That Florida State's like, oh, one loss isn't the end of it. It's kind of amazing that it's the same school that's in that position based on what we just saw last week.
Yeah, much different players. You know, a lot of those guys, I think they had 10 draft picks off that team. I thought they would have won the game against Georgia Tech handily. And credit to Georgia Tech, you know, Brent Key is a former O-line guy, played there, coached there, and they looked just more dialed in than Florida State. You know, they looked a step ahead of them, and I think Florida State's still going to be really good, but it was a really shaky first start. Now they're going to play Bill O'Brien's team at BC. I mean, they're start of their schedule now all of a sudden looks more competitive than I was, you know, thought it was going to be. Mm-hmm. I still think they're a playoff team, but the biggest question mark for me is, can DJ Uiagalelei, can he really beat teams consistently with his arm? Because the other day in Ireland, he could not, and he did not. And they lost not just a lot of guys on both sides of the ball, but they lost a couple of elite big receivers, and that's a question mark for them is the passing game. Mike Norvell, I give him a lot of credit. I think he's really good with quarterbacks. They have to make big improvement from what we saw last week.
And that said, two of the guys that could have prevented Georgia Tech from running for 190 yards on the ground are playing for the Los Angeles Rams right now, you know, getting ready for week one against the Lions. So what do you take away from that game for Florida State's chances, right? Like, we are in the world where one loss does not matter. A second loss, right? Like, how many two-loss teams are we already beginning to try and suss this out right now in our 12?
I think you'll see 9-3 teams in the playoffs.
You will.
Yeah. So you will definitely see two-loss teams in it. It's just a team that starts out, you know, if they were to lose to BC, you know, that's two losses to unranked teams. I don't think they'll lose to BC. I think they're like a 16-point favorite. And usually teams get a lot better from week one, especially if they've had the first game, whereas, sure, you know, you're playing a team that hasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, they have a Memphis team that's, I think, is really good coming in there with a really good quarterback. And then later on, they play Miami. You know, they have to go to Notre Dame. Like, it's the... All right, you probably have two mulligans in you, but that's it. I don't think you have, you know, if it's a team, again, I think there will be some three-loss teams in there, but if you're losing these games, that doesn't bode so well.
Bruce Feldman here on the Rich Eisen Show. You are going to Morgantown, West Virginia this week?
Yeah, can't wait. By this time tomorrow, I'm on a plane to go somewhere closer to Morgantown.
It's yes, like right.
I fly directly from LA to Morgantown.
Right.
But yeah, it's... You know, they had a really good team last year. Neil Brown was on a lot of people's hot seats. They won 9 games. Garrett Green's a really good quarterback. And that place is going to be wild. It is always wild when they have a good game there. And now you get Penn State coming in there. It's not Pitt, who they hate, but I don't think they like Penn State either. It's like a blue blood to them. And it's a really good Penn State team. But they're one of the more curious teams in that they fired the offense coordinator, Andy Kotelnicki, who a lot of, you know, people around, you know, in coaching circles know who that is, but he's not a big name. He's a guy with Lance Leipold at a bunch of different places and did a really good job at Kansas. They ran the football really well, had a couple of quarterbacks because guys got injured. They're going to have to be probably a little different than what they were at Kansas because he had running quarterbacks there. Drew Aller can move, but not like those guys. And so Penn State, as you know, when they played your alma mater, they couldn't get any big plays in the passing game. Same story when they lost against Ohio State. If they're going to be a real national title contender, because they still have freak guys on defense, mm-hmm. you know, it's like, you remember obviously Micah Parsons, you know, last year was Chop Robinson. Abdul Carter is that next guy who is like super freaky, edge guy who will be all over quarterbacks. They'll be good on defense. question is, how much better can this offense get? We know they can run the ball, but if you can't do anything in the pass game, everybody gangs up and kind of loads the box to slow down the running backs.
When is Fox's first visit to Deion Sanders in any way, shape, or form scheduled right
now? Good question. For us, I don't know when that's going to be.
Wow.
I know,
how is that possible?
Yeah, because I know our first 3 weeks. I'm not saying Fox isn't going to be invested. I know that
Is Big Noon in a wait and see mode with Prime? Because last year it was like Prime Video, Fox.
Yeah,
right?
Big Noon is not like Fox is definitely not off the Deion bandwagon for sure. I know that because when they do the draft and the draft when the TV game is. ESPN in this case and Fox, when it comes to the Big 12, will have their picks on which games they want to try to get.
Yes.
I'm trying to remember, because I saw this probably 6 weeks ago, but I want to say Colorado was in six of the top seven most desired Big 12 games.
Yeah. Makes sense, doesn't it?
Deion does ratings. I think they're going to be improved. Last year, 4 wins, they kind of fizzled out. They were terrible in the trenches. I think they'll be a lot better, especially on the defensive side of the ball, because of what they added. The question is, them more than almost anybody cannot afford their starting quarterback to go down, because I just think there's huge drop off. Shador is a really good quarterback. They've added some really good receivers to already Travis Hunter.
What about sanding the pants up front, though? I mean, that's the question.
Yeah.
Because, Shador is getting his Sanders kicked in last year towards the end.
It'll be better. It can't be any worse. I think they'll be considerably better on the D-line. I think they'll be better on the O-line, but I don't know how much better. I think they're probably a 7 or 8 win team this year.
What's your opinion of Prime versus local columnist that's going on right now?
It's not a good look for anybody, to be honest. It's just, do you need, I'm sure he's fine with it.
Who, Deion?
Yeah, he's fine with it. But I think, it's just one of those things where if it doesn't take the next step, right? Because I remember how bad they were before he got there.
Oh, you mean the program you're talking about?
The program, yes. Okay. So they went from 1 win the year before and were getting blown out by everybody to 4 wins and were very competitive. But it was still only 4 wins. If he goes 5-7, I don't think Deion doesn't care what other people think. But eventually it's you're going to get a ton of blowback from that.
And even I will point out, how can you say he doesn't care what people think when he won't entertain questions from a reporter is saying, and yet, it's a columnist saying some, very highly critical things of Deion and the way that he runs his program. So I when you pick a fight with anybody in the media, that's just you're never going to win it. That's a losing battle.
I feel like Lane Kiffin's won some of these fights.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. I feel like in this day and age, whether it's on social media or not, you can get in these little spats with, whether it's a talk radio person, whether it's somebody who's on a morning, Skip Bayless type or whatever. Right. And you can get in those, and it's just, I don't know how much it helps, anybody. Again, it's probably a natural reaction to push back. I don't know how, if you're winning, everything's fine.
That's
if you're losing,
damn straight,
then
man.
All of a sudden it just becomes another dust up and it feels like another distraction. It gives more people to pick at you.
That's the ultimate answer is just win. Just win, and then suddenly all of this stuff goes in a totally different direction. And obviously, his team's more talented this year than the previous year.
You can't make
that argument.
Yeah, no doubt. It's how big of a step did they take forward? It's year two. You've gone heavy in the portal. I think they're probably a 7 or 8 win team if they get to that.
That's great.
I think that's great.
You double your wins.
If you go to 5-7.
Oh, boy.
Then all of a sudden, I think there's going to be a lot of vultures circling who are going to be like, yeah, I told you so. This wasn't working out.
What's the Heisman race looking like right at the outset?
The Bruce guy Feldman. I think has the best chance of winning it is Dylan Gabriel. He was really good at UCF. He was really good at Oklahoma. Now he goes to Oregon, where he's a great fit for the system. The guys I talked to up there love him in terms of how he fits. his leadership, his presence, he's got a big it factor about him. He's really good in terms of like kind of elevating everybody else around him. And obviously Bo Nix was terrific for them. He fit in. And I think Bo Nix, when he came in there, was, you know, was kind of dusting himself up after ups and downs at Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
And got a new start, and it was great. And I think those guys run a really good system. Like the OC there, Will Stein, was a former, you know, Louisville quarterback of the Teddy Bridgewater. He's a guy, remember the name. He's going to be a terrific, you know, he'll be a head coach before too long. But I think they added some really good transfer guys. They have two really good tackles, offensive tackles. I think Dan Lanning's in that kind of sweet spot with Oregon. I think they're a legit, legit national title threat.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Dylan Gabriel's going to put up enormous numbers this year.
I mean, Ohio State, Oregon, it's like game of the year when that happens.
It is, right? but go back to this. That's
in Oregon.
That's
correct?
Up in Eugene, right? But, you know, win or lose, both teams are going to probably go, right. I think, are going to go to the playoffs. Well, so I it's mean, like...
Yes.
It's going to feel a little more like the NFL. Like, remember we had, I don't know if it was a couple of years ago, where it was like the Chiefs game where it was like 52-49. It was a great Monday
night. Against the Rams, yeah.
Against the Rams. But it's like, at the end of the day, it's like, you know, it's like, it's fun, but then you're going to probably see something different in the playoff, right?
And
that's how college is now.
And that may happen between Michigan and Ohio State this year. You know, big noon or Fox. I mean, it's all on the line. It's so big. We've been talking about it. For, you know, and that I can already see it, you know, if it is two undefeateds going at it, that would be certainly, I think, in the case of my program, the way that a lot of people are seeing would be surprising.
It would be surprising to me as well.
Okay. And in the case, if that happens, in previous years, it would be the earth stopping spinning.
They could play technically three times this year.
No doubt. I mean, and that's entirely possible, right? And so...
I do think there's a better chance of Oregon and Ohio State playing three times.
Of course. I mean, Oregon and joining the Big Ten is going to be fascinating to see. We'll see if they get clipped in some spot in the, you know, upper Midwest where they normally wouldn't even think about getting clipped. If that... I don't even know their schedule off the top of my head.
They got the Idaho Vandals week one. So I don't know if that's clipped. I mean, they're a good FCS.
No, I'm not talking about this. Okay. I'm talking about conference play. You know, trust me. Many Michigan seasons are littered with losses in Iowa that I didn't see coming.
Just hey, Urban had a season when it was littered with a loss against Iowa, too. You
right.
Know, it's like there's enough big physical people where if you do not have your A game, you could get got. I mean, Purdue got, again, Ohio State was loaded.
I remember that, yeah. There.
Yeah.
Was it Rondell like Moore coming
Rondell
out
Moore
game?
Ran yeah. wild.
Pew, pew. Yeah. We got Bruce Feldman here on the Rich Eisen Show. What is going on with my alma mater right now? What is going on with Michigan?
You got to replace an entire O-line. You got to replace a leader and a really talented quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And Blake Corum. Obviously, they still have Donovan Edwards. I think they're good there. They have really good tight ends. I think they're going to be really nasty on the defensive side of the ball. You know, I think they'll be elite on the D-line. You have the best corner in the country who's like, one of the guys I know is up there on that staff, just kind of raves about Will Johnson and how, like, sees the game like a quarterback and all, you know, just like off the charts intangibles. They added a really good transfer and Jasharm Barnum from Maryland, who's a, you know, fits. He's like a nasty physical guy. So I think defense is really good. So the question is, you know, I think they're probably a 3, maybe a 4 loss team because I just think they lost too much on offense, you know? And we'll see whether it's Alex Orji, whether it's going to be Davis Warren.
So you don't think Michigan's going to defend their title? Have a chance?
I think they lost too much.
You do?
I don't think it's a reflection of, you know, it's just everything was building towards last year. And not only, like, I still think they're really talented on defense, but they also lost, like, the best leader on the defensive side of the ball. Now he's playing for the Commanders. You know, he was a great, like, utility knife. And I think they just, I'm not saying they don't have any good leaders left.
Right.
I just think they lost too much from last year's team.
What about the NCAA circling? Is there anything going on there?
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, didn't they just get the...
they did. Some, I mean, but again...
Some document to let them know what's coming on the Connor Stallions front?
Yeah, that this I mean, week? I...
That's
again,
for summer. How did that not get leaked? I'm kind of stunned that didn't get leaked.
I don't
like
think there's
the cheeseburger
that much,
stuff.
Yeah, I don't think there's that much different in this one than the one that got leaked a week before
okay.
or whatever in the formal one. You know, from what I heard, the... You know, it had come up about Sharon Moore deleted text. from what I'd heard. I don't know if they're going to anything substantive. It was in the deleted text that they already actually have now.
Right.
It's, you know, a bunch of those people are now not working at Michigan anymore. Right. And so, again,
including the subject of a documentary right now. Have you watched that?
I have. I saw it. I saw a lot of you in there, by the way.
You know what? It's interesting. You know who's also interested in that? My lawyer. I haven't heard. Nobody reached out about using any of our material there. Just throwing that out there. That said, what'd you make of it? Because I haven't seen it. I've heard a lot of people saying what you just said. You're in it a lot.
You're in it a lot.
Which is great.
It's definitely interesting because you see Connor's backstory. If he grew up, you know, dressing as Bo Schembechler when he was 7 years old for Halloween.
Isn't that lovely?
And he grew up
so just sweet. Like you, Rich.
You know, I am sure he was a bigger Michigan fan growing up than.
That's great.
This really hurts you. You don't want to.
No, 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 no. It's all right. No. I wish he grew up loving George Perlis more. You know what I mean? Like that would have been great. Because seriously,
this really hurts you.
Here's what happens. Is that, again, you know my opinion on all this. I don't need to review it. Although apparently it has been placed in front of the Netflix viewing audience, that there had to be something up with this guy, right?
Yes.
And the fact that he's like, does that even look like me on the Central Michigan sideline? And then Portnoy's like, he told me he did that, you know? And it's the cartoon lying, right, that makes whatever you think is bad about it worse. And that's what it's just it's like, bro, if you're just going to sit here and deny and lie and whatever about what you did, not about, you know, what maybe others knew, then you're making it worse. And go away. Go away.
I think the thing that is kind of jumps out at is how Connor sees himself compared to how like almost everybody else sees it. Almost everybody else is like, there's a big gulf between those two things in terms of the perception of it.
Yes.
And not. Now, if you're a Michigan fan, which obviously you are,
yes, sir.
The best thing you can cling to is once he was gone, they still won all the games.
That's what I said on McAfee's show when we did the simulcast, Root and Branch. He started making fun of me. You know what we should do? We should send you to Connor Stallion's house to enlighten him on the way the rest of the world views him. Would you do that, Chris? If we find you?
No, I want nothing to do with this ever again.
Nah, you and me both.
I don't like talking about this.
I know. You know, it's like, it's one of those stories that just, like, there's a little bit of Galooly feel in this, if you remember that reference.
Write it down. Galooly feel. By the way.
Late entry.
As a fantasy team name, or just, by the way, you've come up with a great adjective. There's a Galooly feel to it.
That's, like, there's definitely, the gang that could, you know, like, in some ways, you know, I think, Connor is very smart about certain things, but then there's other things where you're like, okay, he was incredibly sloppy in how he did this. Like other people may, you know, you hear are doing things to on not the same scale in terms of the advanced scouting, but have drifted into those waters, but they have not left a trail of breadcrumbs like this.
So I think let's just, before I let you go, let's come up with the definition of Galooly feel.
Good.
Where something nefarious taking place, but too much, you know, three-dimensional chess is being ascribed to what is something completely slapdash and sloppy. Would you say that?
Yeah.
That something happened that the whole world is talking about that potentially affected competition or was attempting to affect competition, but ultimately did not. As we all know, Nancy Kerrigan
still
crushed it.
Yep.
Right? So that's a Galooly feel.
So
did it come up?
Well, she won the silver.
And Michigan won the gold.
Have you seen this documentary yet?
Not yet.
Okay.
What, the one on Netflix you're referring to? The one that I'm apparently all over?
So there's a part of it where there's a big Ohio State message board guy who goes on, but is masked. Like, for all we know, it could be Del Tufo going on there to zing you.
That would be great.
Zing me?
And Michigan fans. You don't know.
What,
you don't
me
know.
In particular?
Well, he's...
Message board dude is it uses
no,
my name?
No, he's not going after you. He's, he's obviously hates Michigan. But
he's masked? Like, he's masked?
It totally could be me.
It totally could be.
Like, what do you mean masked? Like, he's Nacho Libre or something? Like, what does he look like?
Oh, you'll see it.
I don't want to see it.
I have to watch this.
I'm not watching this. But a number of people have texted me like, you're all over this thing.
You are all over this thing.
When I get my residual check, I'll let you guys know. Kidding.
Wow. I love
just
it.
Just to throw it out.
Like 60 minutes? Like his face is black?
No, he comes like on in a ski mask altered? And sunglasses.
Oh, great. So a message board dude is allowed to wear a disguise and spout off on anything. Is that what you're telling me? And then, just so everyone understands, if you use Rich Eisen show material, you do have to ask permission.
Please get clearance.
Yeah. That's the way it works, right? Holy crap. Hey, listen, I was on the Brady roast and now I'm on this. I'm all over Netflix.
Nice, love it.
Go figure that. All right. Thanks, Bruce.
Bruce.
I do wait. You're right. I mean, this thing, but the NCAA is not going to page turn here. Just so I guess in all seriousness, does anything of what we just discussed come home to roost and suddenly we're talking Petitti's acting, the NCAA's acting during this playing season?
They already suspended Jim Harbaugh for a significant amount of the season. Like, it wasn't like he didn't get got in that regard.
Six games. Right? Well, three for the burger and three for this. Right.
So, and it wasn't like they said, hey, we're going to suspend you for Miami of Ohio and, you know, like
Penn State, Ohio State and the trap game of Maryland in between.
So you get, you know, like there was a significant punishment there. And again, those guys are gone. Like, are you really like going to suspend this to punish Davis Warren?
They sent a show cause letter to Harbaugh across the street.
Yeah. I mean, look,
it's like, again, my physics teacher saying you're missing a lab back in junior year of high school.
I'm sure.
So if you ever come back here, you're in trouble.
Connor Stallions will have a long time show cause, but it's like, is that going to matter? Who's going to hire him in college football? I mean, if somebody would hire him, it would be for some kind of behind the scenes thing.
Is he wearing a disguise and maybe you don't know it's him?
I don't know.
Him saying, like, I don't know. Is that me? I have no idea. Cut to Portnoy. That's him. He told me it was him. Thanks for coming on. Enjoy Morgantown. Greatly appreciate it. And we'll see you next Wednesday. We're in Kansas City. So we'll see you the Wednesday after that.
Okay.
You're the man. That's Bruce Feldman right here on the Rich Eisen Show. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. You love their jingle. You're going to love their friendly, helpful service even better because they're in the business of keeping your car on the road. And the parts knowledge they have, it's all you need for your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll find you just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or quick service? They'll help you there and find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. So stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/EISEN. O'Reilly Auto Parts. The Rich Eisen Show is sponsored by Grainger. Does this sound familiar? You're a maintenance specialist and you've been squaring off with a leaky radiator at your facility for hours. You're both drenched in sweat. You've thrown the whole playbook at it, but so far it's got an answer for everything. What you need is a teammate. A pro who's seen it all before, and that's Grainger. With support specialists always ready to chat, the product you need, plus a million more, just give this ringer a ring. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by one of their local branches. Mike Del Tufo over there, when Justin Hartley of This Is Us was here on Friday, he planks weights on his back. Okay, there he is, putting plank after plank. There's a 45-pound. He waves on more weight. See? Come on, let's get some more. Right? Del Tufo sees this and goes, I could do that, is what he said. And he said he would do 145. Now, we took that. When you say when he can do 145, how much weight do you think that means? Just off
145.
Point. Right.
No. No. One plate that weighs 45 pounds.
How long do you say you can do this?
A minute, come on.
All right, here we go.
Mike, get off your knees.
Go to the right spot in your mind now. Go to the right spot in your mind, buddy. Come on. Look at him. All we see is the finish line, baby. All we see
coach
is
him up, Herb.
That's
coach
all
him up.
See. figure is simple, baby.
Ooh.
Right now, don't worry about the body, baby. Our mind's controlling our body. Our mind, Michael, control our mind. We got this, baby. We gonna show the world. That's what you're about.
What do we got?
Show the world, baby. Don't worry about it.
Just only 24 seconds.
Don't worry about it. You got two blocks out. Right. You got two blocks gone.
Halfway home.
You got two blocks gone. You got two more go. All she just see that finish line. Look at the glory. Look at your chest touching the tape. Get your chest on that tape. Look at you, baby.
20 seconds to go.
You're coming in 20 seconds, baby. You can finish this, man. We can do this.
I do that every day, people, at the gym.
I can't tell.
I do it. I do
it. I can't tell. I can't tell.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Get your tickets right now for football games, baseball. We're getting down to the pennant races. It's awesome. College football is returning. There's so many reasons for you to get game time on a mobile device and start buying tickets to anything in your area. Concert season. Yep. Taylor Swift's coming back to the United States of America. She is doing that. So she'll be back in town, and you should... any sort of concert, any event, and you can take all the guesswork removed. You see the view from your seat. The all-in pricing gets to show you exactly the entire cost before you buy it. The new feature, Game Time Picks, actually filters out the fluff to show you only incredible deals and great seats, so you don't have to waste time searching through thousands of tickets. So here's how you remove the guesswork out of buying any tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, use my code RICH, and you get $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem my code RIC, and you get $20 off. Download Game today. Game Time today. What time is it? Game Time. What time is it? It's Russell Wilson go time. It's amazing how things work out in the National Football League. As we saw last year, Kenny Pickett, he was the starting quarterback coming off of a perfect preseason. Five drives, five touchdowns for the Pittsburgh Steelers offense that began to immediately struggle. Pickett was on the struggle bus for quite a bit. Then he gets concussed. Then it's Trubisky time. He goes out there and he does not perform to snuff. And then it's Mason Rudolph time. And Mason Rudolph was the one who had the best season of any quarterback. And he wound up getting the Steelers in the playoffs. Starting a playoff game. His last game as with the Pittsburgh Steelers was a playoff start. And then if you had told me, as the Steelers got one and done last year, that their quarterback room this summer would be Russell Wilson and Justin Fields, I'd be like, oh, okay, sounds good.
Yeah.
And that quarterback competition has resulted in Russell Wilson being named the starting quarterback. Glaze was the first to report it, and the Steelers have actually tweeted it out, which sets up perfectly our third hour guest, Mike Tomlin, going to join us on the show. How about that? And here I thought I'd have to be coy to try and get an answer out of him. And it is now happening. It's Russell Wilson. Okay. And for me, this is, I believe, what is he? Is he 36 years old now?
Yes, I believe
36
that's
years old. The kid out of...
He'll be 36 in November.
NC State. He's 35 going in, 36. It is team number three that will employ him as a starting quarterback in a week one as well. And this is it. A guy who was on his ascension to the Pro Football Hall of Fame with the way he started for the Seahawks. He didn't just get him to the playoffs. He got him to the playoffs in the second round, either thanks to the bye, and won multiple games in the playoffs. The number of times he went into a playoff season and then won twice could fill up one hand. And then the let Russ cook just disintegrated. Disintegrated. And the Broncos wound up sending a ransom in draft picks to the Seattle Seahawks, and then wound up...
What a trade.
And it wound up with him as the most expensive cut in football history, a ransom for the Broncos to pay in dead money over 2 years. They're splitting it up. And the Steelers take him, and Kenny Pickett reacts in such a way that he winds up an Eagle, and Justin Fields is the backup for a draft choice in this upcoming year's draft, the 2025 draft. And it's Russ time against the Atlanta Falcons. Put it up on the screen for the game. Way that the Pittsburgh Steelers season starts.
Fun opener.
And I only hope this goes well for him and our third hour guest to start, because the way the Steelers season ends is a crucible, to say the least. Two games in a row at Atlanta, and sure enough, look where Russ starts week two in Denver with a big old chip on his shoulder. Home for the Chargers, and then at Indianapolis. Three out of the first four on the road. Home for Dallas. That's on a Sunday night. NBC will be there. At Vegas, and then they take on the two New York teams at home before a bye week. And then look at week 11. They've got their two games against Baltimore, two games against all of their division games are week 11 on.
It's nuts.
The schedule's so hard.
The schedule's really hard.
And the only games that aren't in division from week 11 on are at Philadelphia and home for Kansas City on Christmas on Netflix.
Well, at least they get like a little bit of a break from their tough.
That's a schedule.
Oh, wait a minute. They don't.
No break.
Jeez. All gas.
No break. No break. That's man.
Yeah. That
Black
is,
and gold. Here we go. And it's Russ. And it's
Black
Russ.
And gold. Here we go.
Yep.
And tough. Like I'm saying, this and that's the schedule that Russ needs to navigate successfully. Because if not, who's going to give? I mean, who's going to give him another shot for him to make the Hall of Fame? To be your week one starter and make the Hall.
I don't know.
And I can't wait to see it, because the weapons are there, man. That's Pickens. That's Najee. Jalen Warren, we're expecting to be healthy in time. You know? It's Russ.
That is it.
Wow. Oof. And it all started with Russ showing everybody he meant business by taking a commercial flight from visiting the Giants to go to the Steelers and showing everybody just how committed he was by flying through Newark Airport commercial.
It was just
there. It is right there. There's a photograph. Russ in Newark Airport. And again, if you've ever been to Newark, you know. And you've got the financial wherewithal to just PJ it. And you say, oh no, I'll fly commercial through Newark, everybody. That is a lunch pail mentality.
Quick flight.
That I think Steeler fans will appreciate.
Not quick.
Out of a guy that supposedly does not have that lunch pail reputation. Yeah, that right there.
Hour and a half flight, Newark to Pittsburgh.
Oh, my God.
And an hour in Newark.
Yeah, an hour and a half through security. And then there's the wait time on the ground.
No, exactly.
Oh, and then, you know, at least, I mean, flying into Newark, you're also running the risk of your gate's not ready. Yeah. Let's just sit out there. Okay.
Didn't they redo Newark?
They could redo it 20 times.
It's getting flagged on for no reason.
Hey, know what? The Port Authority of New York and New Jersey can handle it.
I think may have just gotten
just like Russ can handle the pressure. He showed it to you. I'm going to fly through Newark. I'm going to go. I'm going to impress the Steelers. And I'm going to be a week one starter. Go figure that. Now, that's a story to be told for the ages. Mike Tomlin's coming up hour three. What in the hell are they forklifting?
Rich, it's out of control.
What is going on?
So much beeping.
So much beeping.
The beeping is driving me nuts.
Right. Is it on Friday, Rich, as Del Tufo and I were leaving, we saw a Monopoly sign hanging out of a cart.
Yeah.
So like you could see the big M and it was red. Yeah. And so you could tell.
Like they're bringing games. There's a game. They go got
they're
games.
They're bringing it in, huh?
So.
You could tell. By the way, if you had told me what is that sign, I'd have said that's Monopoly.
Yeah, without question. TJ goes, look.
I was like, Mike, go stand
by
there.
Is there like a big thimble in there, too?
I wouldn't doubt it.
What were you? Were you the race car?
Race car.
The race car was the most wanted one.
Yeah. The horse?
I like
the horse.
Yeah, the horse. I like the horse. Good. The horse was good.
Horse was good.
Because it was like the Lone Ranger and the full rearing horse.
Like the cannon?
The iron.
If you got stuck with the
iron.
School. Yep.
That was
old school. That's Depression era gaming.
Yep.
I mean.
Right there. Like, see, an iron.
Wait, so iron, thimble,
could you imagine giving
horse,
a kid, hey,
car.
Here's you know, you can play with a thimble and an iron. Gee, kids in 21st century be like, what are those?
What?
What's sewing?
Thanks,
what's ironing?
Exactly. The first Monopoly.
Is there a TikTok for me to learn?
The first Monopoly, 1935.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Depression era gaming. Oh. Yeah, man. Community chest chants. What are those? Railroads?
I mean, exactly.
What are utilities?
It'd be light rail.
What?
It'd be light rail today. You got the blue line.
Now it's a forklift.
Oh.
And there's no such thing as free
parking.
Oh,
the shoe.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show.
Tucker Carlson, what is it that you think that people gravitate towards?
I'm not self-aware. I refuse to be self-aware. I don't even look in mirrors at all, which you can probably tell from my appearance. I don't have a crazy high IQ, or I really don't have that many skills. I would say my main skill is I believe my instincts. I don't hesitate to follow my instincts, ever. The extent that I have gotten in trouble.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.